Good morning, Arizona homeowners. We should have got a live chicken rooster for this morning.
We could have one tied up right here.
We are broadcasting live at Ben Avery Shooting Range in North Phoenix off of I-17 and Carefree Highway for the Arizona Game and Fish Outdoor Expo. This is how family-friendly it is. Did y'all see when you came in this morning? I know it was dark, but there's a baby changing station over here.
I miss that.
They've got it all. They've thought of it all. It's a great place to bring your family for an outdoor, a day in the outdoors to see what's available in this great state. And just get some sun. They've got tents everywhere, so there's plenty of place to get out of the sun for a minute, keep from frying. But every type of wildlife organization is here. Every type of you said there was 50 different vendors here for ATVs, people that maybe charter services. I'm convinced that to get our kids to catch fish, I'm going to have to get a charter service.
Yeah. The best T-shirt I've seen out here so far, they've got it over at the Tonto Rim Search and Rescue. It says, support search and rescue. Go get lost.
Go get lost. I am spoiled by Louisiana fishing. I didn't know you actually had to know something to catch a fish. Mm-hmm. And you just put something on a hook and throw it in the water and wait 5 minutes and you got something, if that long. But out here, you actually have to have skills. So they've got tanks full of fish that you can come out and catch, and release.
Did you see that catfish?
The state record trophy mounted catfish. How'd you like that thing sucking on your toe in Bartlett Lake?
What was that, 6 feet long? It was 75 pounds.
70, yeah. it broke a 25-year standing record caught in 2013 out of Lake.
Yeah, fairly recently. Lake. Yeah. It's a monster.
So, but right now, we're outdoors, and it's the Outdoor Living Hour. We've got Jay Harper of Harper's Nursery in studio joining us to take your questions on landscape and gardening at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, as well as text questions to 411-923. Good morning, Mr. Harper.
How are you?
Yeah, you're missing quite an event. I know you're quite a skilled fly fisherman. I'm surprised you're not out here.
I have been to that event twice before. The last 2 years, this will probably be the first time in 3 years I haven't been to it. It is a great undertaking that they do, and it's free, and you just there's lots of parking, and they actually I think they even shuttle you if you park too far away, and it's a fun deal, especially if you have youngsters. I think it's one of the best things to get kids excited. I took a group of young men from a church last year. And they just had probably the best. You know, these kids had never picked up a .22 rifle before. Got to shoot .22 rifles. Got to shoot a bow and arrow. Got to catch a fish. They got to do things that city kids particularly don't get much of a chance to do.
It's like Camp Geronimo for the whole family.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. No, it's a great deal. And we're sitting here. Beautiful weather, time to garden, and one of these days we ought to do a show maybe on gardening to attract wildlife to your garden. A lot of people complain about the wildlife that comes into their garden because it eats their stuff, but there are some pretty cool watchable wildlife things that you can attract, birds and hummingbirds and songbirds and different things that if you do certain things in your garden, you can do that as well. So that'd be a fun show.
We'll have to start working on that one. It's a better way to do it than the bird block every week.
Well, there's lots of things, especially this time of year, that you can plant that will attract us, particularly hummingbirds. I think people, that might be the number one thing. Hummingbirds and butterflies might be the number one things that people just ooh and ah. And if you tell them, hey, this plant will attract a hummingbird or this plant will attract a butterfly, it's just an automatically sold. So be careful, folks, when you go to the nursery this weekend and a guy says that'll attract a hummingbird, he's trying to put the clothes on you to sell that. But it really is a fun thing to do, to have, and we have lots of things in our landscape and gardens that bloom over the course of the whole year. You can be attracting particularly hummingbirds into your garden, and they are pretty fun to watch.
Was it last year we were, or not last last week we were talking about the Bougainvillea, speaking of blooming?
Yes, the valley, call it the Valley of the Bougainvillea, not the Valley of the Sun. Yeah, Bougainvilleas are just spectacular this year. I just guess it's just a combination, and we didn't have a lot of hard freeze. They didn't get, you know, pruned back too severely. We've had a very mild spring, and they're showing off, man. They are strutting their stuff.
Seems like the Palo Verde trees as well. They are just thick with yellow blooms.
And early, you know, here we are, you know, end of March. I've already seen a couple of white-winged doves. Palo Verdes are blooming. Saguaros are starting to bud up. So everything's just kind of, I think it's early and it's extended. And the Palo Verdes, especially probably out where you guys are, you can probably just see a sea of them from there.
It just seems like there's probably 6 or 7 or 8 natural plants right now that are yellow. You know, the cassias, right?
Uh-huh.
And then the little hedgehog cactus with the yellow blooms are all out. Lots of yellow wildflowers.
We do have lots of yellows and oranges that occur naturally in the desert. So one of the challenges I think we have as landscape professionals is to maybe give a little diversity and introduce a little diversity of color. I always like to show people things that can bloom maybe purple or blue or get some reds or other colors involved in the landscape, because we do have lots of, especially yellow. Not that there's anything terribly wrong with that, but it really, because the yellow will help actually make the other colors pop. So if you have some reds and oranges and blues and purples with that yellow, it really can be very striking.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888. Rosie, for you, as we go to Barbara, first caller online. Good morning, ma'am.
Hello, yes. I live in Green Valley. I planted hosta plants in a shady area. I planted them in the autumn as they directed, and they did come up, and they got to be about 4 inches high. But now they're sitting there, the leaves are curled, and the edges of the leaves are turning brown. Any suggestions?
Well, I would have to put it out there, if anybody in Phoenix or Tucson that has ever been able to grow hostas successfully, they just need to call in, because I've never seen one grow successfully here. That's a plant that grows in Payson, Flagstaff, Prescott, Midwest, Michigan, you know, Iowa. I've never seen anybody grow one successfully in the desert. I think you're trying to do something that is not practical, and you need to find a different plant.
Okay, I have one more. Could it be the soil? Could a soil amendment? Perhaps the soil is too alkaline.
Well, that's certainly part of it. Our soil is too alkaline for them. We get too hot for them. There's a number. You're battling a number of things to try and grow hostas here. As I usually comment to folks, if it did really well here, you'd see lots of them because it's a cool plant. But it doesn't, and you're really going to be challenged to try and make it grow here.
And I think she sounds like somebody that's accepting that challenge and wants to be the
it
first.
It does,
one to
yeah.
Success.
She's going
to
battle that.
What?
So,
where would you suggest her to drive to dig up soil to bring down to? You had mentioned Payson,
Iowa.
Basket, take a pickup truck, go to Iowa, get a
some of that black soil from the Midwest, and she'd have to bring the soil. She'd have to bring the temperatures. All of that to make it work. And they do need to be in the shade as well. So even in those areas that don't get hot, they grow hostas in the shade in the Midwest. So tough undertaking, I'm afraid.
What would be a good alternative to a hosta? What is that? Is it a
It's a ground. It's more like a ground cover, Romy. And, they have different colored foliage. I would say probably the closest we might come, and there again, these don't do great here, but you can make them work here, would be coleus, perhaps, begonias, maybe, or a combination of those. Ajuga would be one she might want to try. That's A-J-U-G-A, ajuga, in a shady area. Would give you kind of that look, much smaller leaf, not going to be exactly the same, but they certainly can work.
Interesting. There's a lot of names in there I've never even heard of before.
There's a lot of plants out there, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things that will work here. You just have to kind of start researching and see. But that people that, you know, have seen something when they go to the Midwest or go back east or whatever have to remember that, you know, it's – and it's kind of funny that, you know, I had a lady call the other day. She wanted a certain plant, and I said, you know, they just won't take the – oh, I grow them in Michigan, and they take the heat. It gets hot there. I said, no, honey, you don't know what hot is.
Right. It gets hot there.
Yeah. One day. One day they hit 90, you know.
Now, what about lawns real quick? I've got a lot of questions this week from our conversation last week about go ahead and just letting the perennial go.
Well, I think it probably depends on your situation, but, you know, I just kind of let nature give me a clue. When my ryegrass starts to look a little stressed, which it did, boy, this year, a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, then I start the process. And the process, for me, everybody might have a different take on it, but for me is I'll start mowing my lawn a little shorter, and I don't up the water. I don't start increasing the water. Now, if you had bumped up the water, your ryegrass is probably still beautiful, and you can drive around and still see some that are really nice. But if you had left your irrigation about the same as it was in January or February, your ryegrass is probably burning up, you know, with a few 90-degree days that we had earlier. So mowing shorter, don't increase the water, and then just kind of when we start getting these warmer days, it's going to kind of take its own course.
With everything early, that means maybe some of our nice green ryegrass is dying out early as well, which is okay. That'll just mean their Bermuda's out faster, and it's